What are you?
Blind?
The man in the other car yelled out his window. You see, I hadn't been able to see him. As he sped off, I berated myself. Well, yes, actually, I guess I am at this moment. After all, I had been distracted thinking about other things, and I had been unable to see what was right in front of me. It is not, of course, the same as someone who was born blind, or who damages their vision accidentally, but no less permanently. But the blindness of ignorance, distraction, or denial, that blindness was no less of a problem for me that day in the parking lot. In fact, if you look at today's gospel, that second type of blindness takes much more to correct than any physical blindness. Healing a man born blind is really a fairly straightforward matter for Jesus. He rubs mud into the man's eyes and sends him to one of the pools to be baptized into sight. In two short verses, the man goes from lifetime affliction to freed and healed physically, from blindness through water into sight. The vast majority of today's very long gospel is not about the healing of his physical sight, but what happens after that, the journey of the man to true sight. After being healed, the man is interrogated three times about his healing, each time by adversaries who are consecutively more blind to the truth. First, his neighbors, who are merely curious. Then the Pharisees, who are divided. And finally, the group that John calls simply the Jews. That is, those whom Jesus has upset with his teaching. And each of these groups is more hostile than the last. And yet each time the man proclaims the same occurrences. The man from his first interrogation does not elaborate, exaggerate, or make himself the center of attention. He makes no claim to have had anything to do with his healing. It is pure, unsolicited gift of God. The man's task is simply to bear witness to the truth, regardless of the consequences. John shows this man who was blind but now can see, as the archetypal disciple. Indeed, the Jews in their final interrogation name him as such. You are his disciple. Having experienced the saving action of God in Jesus, the man proclaims the experience plainly in the face of opposition. Every time that the man is asked to explain where his healing comes from, he is threatened more and more openly. But there's also something else going on. Something interesting is also happening to the man as he is challenged. The more he explains, the more his faith seems to grow. The man who had been blind slowly begins to see the truth of what really has happened to him. He doesn't see it as we would expect by thinking about it logically, by trying to understand it like you would a math problem. But as he proclaims it, as he shares his story with those around him, first with his neighbors, then with the Pharisees, and finally with those who actively oppose the message. The man born blind makes steady progress in his knowledge of the identity of Jesus, even as his persecutors entrench themselves progressively in their blindness. The man, in response to his neighbors, identifies the one who healed him as the man called Jesus. When he is first brought before the Pharisees, and some claim that Jesus is not from God for not keeping the Sabbath, the man contends that he is a prophet. And during his second interrogation by the Jews, the man states that if Jesus was not from God, he could not do these things. Finally, when Jesus finds the man after he has been ejected by force from the synagogue, he asks Jesus who the Son of Man is. And on hearing Jesus' reply, states simply, Lord, I believe. The reader is, of course, supposed to identify with the man born blind. He is, after all, the archetypal disciple, journeying from blindness to understanding. An understanding that ends in worship. It is no wonder that Raymond Brown, the biblical scholar, singles out the man born blind as one of the most attractive figures in Scripture. If only we could be like him, moving progressively from blindness through baptism to clear sight. We, though, too often, might see something of ourselves in the man's parents, who profess Jesus in private, but become sophisticated evaders when that same confession in public has consequences for their reputation, job, or safety. We, in fact, are encouraged by a myriad of social cues and conditions to live today in much the same manner as the man's parents. Our faith is to be private, not openly shared or expressed. We are to be, as Raymond Brown puts it, crypto-Christians, secret Christians, Christians who think about salvation but do not proclaim it, not share it overtly. But the man who was formerly blind, who sees most clearly as he worships Jesus in the middle of the street, having gotten there by proclaiming what God had done for him, this man shows that anything short of the proclamation of sharing the good news is a half measure at best, and at worst leaves us in the dark. When my little brother was 3, he decided he needed to sing. The first time he did it, we were walking through downtown, he, my mother, and I, and all of a sudden, at the top of his lungs, he began to belt out "Pretty Woman." After about 14 seconds, I told him that if he didn't knock it off, I was going to knock him off. But he kept on singing, ignoring me. And as I moved in to make good on my promise, my mother intervened. "Let him be," she said. And I didn't understand why she was letting him embarrass me so much, because people were looking, people were noticing, and sometimes people were even smiling indulgently at him. After that day, if my brother was awake, as often as not, he was singing. Sometimes it was pop tunes. Sometimes it was old standards. He was especially fond of Sinatra. And on Sundays, he even sang hymns. Finally, I asked him, "Why do you keep singing?" And he answered, "Because it makes me happy. Even when I'm sad or angry, I can be happy out loud. And when I can live happy, then I'm happy inside. And I bring happiness to other people." Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Today is called Laetare Sunday, or Rose Sunday, or Refreshment Sunday. It's set aside as a special Sunday in Lent, not just so we can wear these excellent rose vestments, but so that we can remember that our gracious God came down into the world that we might have life and that we might see the grace of God and so be moved to faith, just as the man born blind was. The man born blind said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe. Not think, but believe." We have faith by living faithfully in worship and sharing the good news of what Jesus has done for us. And living faithfully causes us to kneel alongside the man born blind and all the saints in worship, God opening our eyes still more fully as we proclaim the glorious name. Amen.